proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
I want to welcome you, friends. I'm so honored that you would be with us in this program. We know that you have many options of how you can invest your time, so we are very appreciative that you have decided to spend this part of your day with us as we embark on a very sensitive subject, but nonetheless, it must be addressed. The first thing I want to say on this subject, and I want to heavily emphasize, is that no one ever needs to think that their life has come to an end because they have lost all hope for a better future. You have this promise from God, and I don't know if you've ever paused to consider how important God's promises are, but you can be sure that if God has said it, He will fulfill it. He never lies. He's always faithful to what He says. And that should give us great confidence when we read His words to deposit all of our trust and our faith in them. And all we have to do is take Him at His word. He delights in this. He delights in us taking Him at His word. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." End of quote. All we have to do is call out to Him with all of our heart. That is what He sees. He sees the heart. So even if you are alone, He will hear you because He hears the cry of your spirit. And if you sincerely cry out to Him, God will show up. He does not know how to fail a broken and contrite spirit. He will not turn away. So welcome to the program to find out what the Bible has to say about suicide. Our topic is the Bible and suicide. This is part number one, and I'm Nena Arias. Please do not shy away from this subject. It is vital. It is vital that we understand it. This is a pandemic that has lasted far longer than COVID or any other pandemic. And it is increasing, we are told. It's also more deadly. It's more difficult to treat, and there's no vaccine for it. Masks are ineffective in stopping it and may actually make it worse. This pandemic that I'm talking about is suicide. And I can use that word pandemic because of the enormity of people who are resorting to this. More and more, it is becoming the route that way too many people of all ages are thinking erroneously that it is a solution. Dear friends, it is not a solution. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is nothing to be played around with. It is nothing to be taken lightly. When you cross the threshold of earth into eternity, that is very permanent. And if you've not made provision, if you've not cultivated a life with God, and you've despaired of life altogether, you are saying a lot to God and to yourself, meaning that you don't believe anything that God has said. For instance, what we just read in Psalm 34:18, you don't believe that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You don't believe that He saves those who are crushed in their spirit. So you are making God out to be a liar. And that, dear friends, is going to take a toll in where you end up and what your future will be. And if you think you have problems this side of heaven, and if you cross that threshold and you are not prepared for that experience, your troubles have just begun. We have to be honest in this subject, even though it is a very sensitive subject. And we do not approach it with a know-it-all attitude. Far be it from us. This is too delicate a subject to be treated lightly, which is why we must run to God for His perspective on this. So the more we see suicide increasing, how are we to view it? So we can know what to do about it. What does the Bible say about suicide? Have you ever thought about it? It is urgent that we look at this. So if you or someone around you is entertaining thoughts of suicide, there is some understanding that you must have immediately and know that with God, there's always hope. There's always hope for a better tomorrow. There's no need to despair. Problems may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. With God, we always have the right solutions. So just hold on, and please listen to the content of this program, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, will speak to your mind, because this is a perspective that the enemy wants to present to anyone who will open the door. Remember, his goal is always to cause people to perish. He wants to take people with him, but he can't do it unless we give him permission. So you are in control. You are in control. God has given you that ability. He has given you a free will. And you choose. You have control. Now, I want to quickly establish, listen closely, I want to quickly establish that an apparent suicide does not necessarily determine the eternal destiny of a person. Now, please allow me to explain that statement. Notice I used the word apparent. To us, a suicide is a suicide, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will determine the eternal destiny of a person. And how is this so? Well, because of the following. We have no way of knowing what transpires in those last nanoseconds before a person passes on into eternity, even in a situation of suicide. We don't know. In God's realm, 1 second can be enough to change things. Not necessarily because the person is going to survive their suicide attempt. They may not survive it. But it's that split second of time before a person passes on that we don't know what happens in that very moment. And God is bigger than anything you and I can conceive. And He is very much able to redeem a person if they have a last split second repentance before him as they succumb to physical death. Now, there have been people who have survived suicide attempts that will come back to tell us wonderful stories so we can have more insight into that transition. A couple years ago, I read a testimony of a man who was so desperate in life that he said, I don't have a reason to live. I'm going to take my life. I don't want to be here anymore. And he went to this tall bridge where there was a very strong current of water underneath that bridge, very tall, and he managed to jump off the bridge. But he says, and he explained it, that in midair, as soon as he leapt from that bridge, he had a change of heart. And he cried out to God, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to die. Nobody knows how, but he was miraculously saved from those treacherous waters. And he lived that suicide attempt. And from that moment on, his life changed. His life changed in relationship to God. You see, even though he had already jumped from that bridge, in that split moment, in those seconds before he hit the water, he repented and he called out to God for forgiveness. God was merciful and he was saved. But what about those people who in those split seconds will also call out to God, but their suicide attempt will succeed? Who are we to know? How are we to know if that person had a repentance and an encounter with Almighty God? We don't. We have no way of knowing. And this is the balance that we need to have as we understand and as we delve into this subject. In those split seconds, God is able to do something. And so we too must allow God to be God in all circumstances. And by saying this, please listen well. I do not want to leave any wiggle room to change what the Bible clearly shows when it comes to life and its end. I want to make that very clear. This is a point that I will reiterate in this topic because it is of utmost importance that it be understood with clarity, because the Bible's view on suicide is very clear, and that is the position that we must take. In its purest sense, in understanding suicide from the Bible, I repeat, the Bible is very clear and views suicide as equal to murder. That's what it is. Self-murder. Many people, even liberal theologians, want to say it isn't so. Loved ones of a person who commits suicide want to say it isn't so. But we must believe God. And when we deny that suicide is self-murder, what are we really saying? What are we saying? Are we saying that we can be more compassionate and forgiving than God? Far be it from us. We do not have that capacity that God has to be more compassionate than him and more forgiving than him. Dear friends, God is the only one who is to decide when and how a person should die. He's very clear on this. He's the giver of life, and he has reserved the right when he wants to take it. We do not have that right. And we should say and agree with the psalmist when he says in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in your hands, period. My times are in your hands. And then in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16, he gives us more insight into how each life is formed. And I read, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." End of quote. Yes, dear friends, our life and our times are in God's hands, and he determines the length of our life even before we're born. He knows exactly what he wants to do with us. God is the giver of life. He gives it, and he takes it away. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." End of quote. You see, he would not be the God that we need if he did not have that authority and that jurisdiction. He would not be God. He would be just perhaps a puppet, someone that we could not trust because he will not keep what he says. So as you can see, God is not in agreement with taking one's own life. It's ungodly because it rejects God's gift of life. Life is a gift. And no man or woman, boy or girl, should presume to take God's authority upon themselves to end his or her own life. This is not acceptable. The Bible doesn't hide anything important that we should know about life. And in it, we read about how some people felt deeply in despair in life. And many of these names you will recognize. For instance, Solomon, the wise Solomon, one of the richest men that has ever lived, in his pursuit of pleasure, to find the meaning of life, he reached a point where he hated life. You might say, well, how can a man like that, with all the money in the world, with all the power that he needed, I mean, what can cause a person like that to hate life? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind." End of quote. What's he saying here? What he's saying is that don't look for the satisfaction of life in earthly, temporal things, no matter how abundant of these commodities, of these blessings you may have. Don't look for your meaning to life in those things. That's like chasing after the wind. And Solomon had a very desperate moment when he expressed this. Another great man of God, Elijah, had a very desperate moment. He was fearful and depressed and yearned for death. Did he really know what he was asking for? I doubt it, but he felt depressed. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers.'" End of quote. When you read what he had gone through, how mightily God had used him to defeat the priests of Baal and how God had used him miraculously to even rain fire from heaven and consume the altar where he had challenged Jezebel and her priests to this false god. And he said, the God that answers with fire, he is God. I mean, talk about exploits with the power of God. That was Elijah. He prayed and it didn't rain for a long time. There was a drought in the land. And then when he finally prayed again, the rain came. Yet here we see this man of God, fearful, running for his life, depressed, and he wanted to die. So it is not beyond anyone's experience to fall into these pitfalls. Sometimes life can be very, very cruel, very strong, coming against us. And we may have even these fleeting thoughts in our mind. What if we just call it quits? No, dear friends, that is not the solution. Jonah, another man that we read in the Bible of how God used him, but at one point, Jonah was so angry with God that he wished to die. He did not want to obey what God had told him to do. He ran away, or tried to run away, but God caught up with him. And then finally Jonah said, okay, I'm going to do what you say. But then, after God spared Nineveh, Jonah was so angry. He was so angry with God. And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, we read, when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. End of quote. What? Was he thinking straight? He had just seen the power of God manifested so powerfully. And even before he arrived in Nineveh, look at what happened to him. A huge storm arose in the boat, in the ship, where he was fleeing from God, going in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And God caught up with him, and he was being so disobedient that that storm threatened to kill all the people that were with Jonah. And Jonah acknowledged. He said, hey, I'm the cause of this. If you will toss me over, all this storm will subside. And at first, those men were fearful of God. They didn't want to toss him over. But then they saw no other solution. And they prayed and they said, God, don't hold us accountable for the blood of this man. And they finally tossed him over and the peace, the calm came. But then Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. What an experience. He was swallowed by a big fish and God caused this big fish to go and vomit him on dry land again. And he had to go and do what God wanted him to do. But even after he experienced all that, and he even prayed in the belly of the big fish, we are told, he repented before God, and God saved him. And after he saw all that manifestation of God's power, then he still wanted to die. He was frustrated and depressed. That was Jonah. And believe it or not, even the Apostle Paul and his missionary companions at one point also despaired of life. We are told this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. End of quote. Boy, we know that the Apostle Paul went through so much for preaching the gospel. A lot of adversity, a lot of persecution, a lot of trials. And at that point, he was saying, you know what? We saw so much adversity coming against us in this huge storm that threatened to drown us and this, that, and the other. He said, so much so that we despaired of life itself. Now, what is that telling you? It's telling you that he finally said, well, you know what? What's the sense of this? And we see. Now, as you can see, these moments of deep struggle may come to all of us. They may come to all of us. None of us are exempt. However, none of these men that I've mentioned committed suicide. Solomon learned to trust God. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. End of quote. What he's saying is, you know what? God has it right. God has it right. Fear him, respect him, obey him, keep his commandments, and leave the outcome to God. He says, for this is the duty of all mankind. That is what we are supposed to do. Elijah was comforted by an angel, no less. He was allowed to rest. He was given food and nourishment, and he was given a new commission. Elijah did not commit suicide. He had a brief moment. He hung in there. Even Jonah received an admonition and rebuke from God, and he finally straightened himself out. He did not commit suicide. And what can we say about Paul? Paul learned that although the pressure he faced was beyond his ability to endure, that the Lord can bear all things if we just lean on him. Lean on him. Cry out to God with all that is within you and pray, God, save me. I can't even say this with a whole lot of faith, but I want you to save me. Acknowledge him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. End of quote. See, even God is not hindered when physical death sets in. He can raise a person from the dead. Why? Because he's God. So according to the Bible, dear friends, may it be very clear, suicide is a sin. It is not the greatest sin. It is no worse than other evil sins. All sin is contrary in terms of how God sees it. And it does not determine a person's eternal destiny because of what we said. We never know what can happen in those nanoseconds before crossing the threshold into eternity. Keep that in mind. We're going to continue with this subject, and I hope that you will come back and join us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.